Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Our special guest today is author Lydia Criss. She wrote Sealed with a Kiss, and that is about the legendary rock band that her husband Peter, her ex-husband Peter, is the famed drummer who was just inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. How are you, Lydia?
I'm okay. How are you, Frank?
We're doing great here. Did you go to the ceremonies?
No, I did not. I chose not to go. I was invited by Peter's wife, believe it or not. And I decided not to go only because it was just getting too confusing and too much controversy.
Yeah, it got controversial, that's for sure. I guess there's always been controversy around the band.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you documented this in the book. What year did you write the book?
I wrote the book in 2006. Yeah, it came out originally, and now it's in its second printing. I believe the second printing was 2011 or 12. No, I think 12.
And what's been your experience with the book? I mean, it's something I'm sure you're glad you wrote. I mean, it's getting rave reviews from those who read it, and certainly Kiss fans too. I mean, it's I'm sure there's always going to be naysayers, but for the most part, you've gotten a lot of positive response on it.
Well, basically, I've had almost 99%. I mean, maybe one person I could remember didn't like it for some reason, but I think because it's my autobiography, and most of it is about Peter, and a lot of fans just felt it. It's about Peter, myself, and Kiss. It's in three sections. It's like pre-Kiss, Kiss, and post-Kiss. So one fan thought it was too much Peter.
Listen, if you're going to go on people's opinions, everybody's got an opinion. But for the most part, I haven't heard anyone say a bad word about it. So
no, the thing is, it's an honest book. It's not like their books. It's more like it's a coffee table book. It's all color. It's not. It's more on the style. If I had to say, it's more on the style of history, but. I didn't copy it off of history. That I had intentions of doing sort of like a scrapbook type of a thing. So there's a lot of photos. There's about 1,500 photos in there, yeah. And it's almost 400 pages. It's a glossy book, glossy color book, and it's just got a lot of unseen photos that people, like behind the scenes stuff, and a lot of backstage passes and ticket stubs and airplane trips and all the stuff that was involved in our life. I saved a lot of paperwork, and a lot of people. This one person, particular person, it's more Peter, but I was married to him, so of course it's going to be more. I don't know, parts of Gene's life. I know a lot of fans tell me it's the best book out there. It's just not like the guy's books at all.
Have you read Paul Stanley's?
Not yet, but a friend of mine actually got it for me, but I haven't seen the friend yet. The friend went to the signing, so he got Paul to sign it for me, but I haven't read it yet, but I did read Peter's and I did read Ace's, and I did not read Gene's. That came out a long time ago, actually before mine. But
by design, you didn't read Gene's?
Oh, excuse me?
By design, I mean you didn't read it on purpose, or you just never got around to it?
Well, I'm not a reader. I'm not, I don't really.
I got you.
Book,
yeah.
But I'm not. The type of person that would sit and read a book unless if I really, really am interested in it. And, Ace's book I took down I was on my way to Brazil, and I took it with me on the plane. That's a long plane ride. So I kind of got to read it while I was there and both, you know, on the plane going and back. And I was almost done with it by the time I got home. As far as, you know, Jean's book, I actually don't know why I didn't buy it, but it was. I did go to Barnes & Noble and look at it, and I just wanted to, you know, but Jean has the index in the back, and I just wanted to see what was written about me, so I looked. And basically, Jean tells a story, but he never gets it right either. You know, there's always something wrong. You know, it's not as accurate as it should be.
Well, we'll get into that in a second. I want to remind listeners that they are listening to Lydia Criss. Lydia Criss is the former wife of Peter Criss, and her book is called Sealed with a Kiss. Let's get back to Jean in a second. Let's talk about you for a moment. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Brooklyn. I lived in Brooklyn for probably, well, until Peter and I was probably 25 or 26 when I left Brooklyn, moved to Manhattan. I went to school in Manhattan when I was, you know, like 11. So I was going to, I went to school in Williamsburg, even though I grew up in Bushwick and Ridgewood, two different parts. And I went to school in Williamsburg, and that's kind of how I met Peter, because he lived in Williamsburg. And then I went to school in Manhattan for high school, and I just loved being in the city. So I eventually moved here. And then I moved up to Connecticut with Peter when they were at, you know, the peak of their fame at about 76, 77. And then I moved back to the city for 2 years, and then moved back to the same house. You know, I just had rented it for a while, and then moved back to the city, and I've been here almost 30 years now.
Lydia, let's go back to when you met Peter. Was it a high school romance? Is that what happened?
No, I was out of high school. I was just out of high school.
Is he older or younger than you?
He's 2 years older than me.
Okay, so he was out, and he was trying to make it in music?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Peter graduated high school, so.
you don't know? You were married to him? He kind of kept that a secret?
He didn't graduate high school, as far as I remember.
No, something tells me he's not going to need to go back.
I don't think so.
There's a lot of guys that graduated high school that didn't do quite as well as Peter did.
Uh-huh, I know.
So
I know.
Again, by the way, for the listeners out there, and especially young listeners, of course, we all, I'm sure Lydia will encourage you all to complete your high school and go on to college and all that. But
absolutely. I even went back to, you know, I graduated high school, and, you know, in those days, my parents didn't have a lot of money, so I didn't go to college. And the thing that happened is, you know, when I was in high school, I started working. And when you start working, you get you just love to, you know, make money. So I was only making a little bit of money because I was only working part time, but you kind of like the whole thing of, you know, having a job. And so I never pursued the college thing. And then eventually when I was about 30, I did go back to college. I did go to college, I should say, not back, but I went to college.
Where did you go?
I didn't stay long, only because my mother got ill and I had to take care of her. You know, she had cancer, but, I did do that. And then I went back to school in different parts. I went back to night school. I went back to school for photography. So I have been in the school system a lot of times, but I don't have a college.
Where did you go to college? What college did you
go to? I went to Hunter College. It was basically I wanted to take a course in law, and someone had suggested that to go there because I didn't live too far from it. It's in Manhattan, and so I said, okay, I'll try, you know, and I went, and
that was after the band was already in superstardom, right?
Oh, it was after I was divorced.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. Now let's go back to again meeting Peter. You met him as you were leaving high school? No,
I was out of high school. My girlfriends from Williamsburg, because I stayed friends with my girlfriends, and they, you know, one of them went to high school with me in Manhattan. And one hot summer day, a friend of mine said, let's go to the beach. So I went to the beach, and I think it was about 103 degrees that day. I got burnt, and I didn't want, you know, she wanted me to go to this club. She was going out with Peter's bass player. And I really didn't feel good because of the heat, you know, and the burn. And she said, please, just, you know, if you go for 1 hour, you know, you can go back home. So I got dressed and went, and that's when I met Peter.
And you guys hit it off from the beginning, or it took a little while?
Well, he said, something, you know, I wore a white dress, and I have dark hair, and I guess my red face. He says, you know, as soon as I walked through the door, he noticed me. And I don't know. I don't remember if he knew that I was coming or something, but maybe he might have. And we didn't hit it off right away. You know, I wasn't crazy about him only because he was too full of himself. But he invited me to go to the beach, and I said, I'll give it a try. And I don't know why I went back to the beach after being burnt. I went back the next day, but with a bunch of people. You know, there was a big crowd. And then we hit it off on the beach. You know, we started, you know, kind of liking the same music, kind of liking, you know, same things. And we had a lot in common, you know, we both had large families. And I think we both had five in our family. And we both, you know, came from pretty modest to poor backgrounds. So, you know, we hit it off. And then eventually I became his girlfriend.
Author Lydia Chris, and former wife of Peter Chris, Kiss drummer, is our special guest today. Lydia, let's talk about something you just said there. You said Peter was full of himself. I guess you can interpret that on the optimistic side, that he had some confidence in himself.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Yeah.
So he was a confident guy. And what about as far as his thoughts on his music? What was he doing for a living at the time?
Well, at the time, he was in a cover band. They just did, you know, it wasn't even top 10 stuff. It was more of rhythm and blues and soul, you know, the songs that were famous in the 60s, even, you know, yeah.
What was the name of that band?
The Barracudas.
The Barracudas, right. Did he, now, there's a line in Family Guy. You ever watch Family Guy?
Not too often,
well,
no.
There's a line in there where the main character is met another Kiss fan, and they were going back and forth on who knew more about Kiss, and they said, what was the trivia question the guy asked him was, what was the ad that Peter Criss put in that attracted, you know, Paul and Gene to him? Do you remember this?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
What was it?
It was drummer willing to do anything to make it. It was in Rolling Stone, and Gene called.
Now, who else did that attract? I mean, you take out an ad in Rolling Stone, it probably cost a couple of bucks that you guys probably didn't have, right? You didn't have a ton of money.
It wasn't that expensive in the day. I from what I remember, it was maybe $15.
Oh, is that all it was? Just 15?
Yeah, it was really cheap.
You talk about a return on your investment.
Yeah,
15.
There was a musician's classified section.
No kidding. Oh,
so
yeah.
It was just for that specific, you know, reason. For, you know, musicians looking. The Village Voice had one also.
Yeah. Oh, well, that, yeah, still, you know, Village Voice.
The Village Voice was probably 10 bucks.
Yeah. But 15 bucks to put an ad in Rolling Stone magazine saying drummer willing to do anything to make it. And what other phone calls did he get off of that? Do you remember? Was it a ton of phone calls? And
I really don't remember a lot of phone calls, to be honest with you. I just remember Gene's.
And who answered that phone call? Were you living together or were you married at the time?
We were married about 2 years at that time, and a little over 2 years. And we had just moved into our second apartment. I answered the phone. Peter hardly ever answered the phone. He didn't like to pick up the phone unless I wasn't home. If I was home, I would be the one to pick up the phone. And, you know, I mean, Gene asked for Peter, and so I handed him the phone. And we were actually, we were in the middle of putting up a mural in our living room. His parents were over and his brother. And he made believe we were having a party. I don't know why he felt that was important to do, but that's what, you know, what happened. We, you know, we were sitting around, and the parents were busy with the wallpaper, and we would just sitting, me and Joey, his brother, and we were sitting around, and he was, you know, answering, you know, Gene was asking him questions, and he would turn to us and say, "Hey guys, am I thin?" And we'd go, "Yeah, you're thin, you know." And you go, "Do I dress good?" "Yeah, you dress good." You know, it's like, see, he was trying to make believe there was a party. But Peter's told that story so many times that I really think he believes there was a party.
No, I'm just trying
you know,
to get
like when
a,
you lie so much, you believe your lies.
We're trying to get a really a feel of what was going on in your life at that time. And that's a pivotal moment, obviously the pivotal moment maybe in your life, and I shouldn't speak for you. In case you're just tuning in, Lydia Chris is an author of Sealed with a Kiss, and her former husband was Kiss drummer Peter Chris, and also and I know the people dispute this or whatever, but there's the original Beth, right? I mean, I guess Beth sounded better than Lydia, but go ahead, you want to address that?
Yeah, well, the song originally was written when Peter was in a band called Chelsea. It was written by Peter and Stan Penridge. Stan was the guitar player in Chelsea. And there was a couple, Mike Brand, who was the rhythm guitar player, and his wife, Rebecca, that they had just gotten married. You know, a little bit around the same time Peter and I had gotten married. And so it was when we first met them, we were only married maybe 6 months, and they were around the same time. And she was, you know, I guess a little bit more possessive than I was, even though I am possessive. She would call the studio all the time, like, "Mike, when are you coming home? When are you coming home?" And she got, you know, to be annoying to Peter and Stan. So they wrote this song, and it wasn't a nice song. It was like, "Beck, I hear you," you know, it was Beck, because her name was Rebecca. So it's, "Beck, I hear you calling, and I'm not coming home right now. You know, me and the boys are playing, and, you know, I'll be home when I get home," you know, that type of thing. And nothing was ever done with it. And then Peter presented it to Kiss years later, you know, I mean, I'd say probably, well, about 5 years later. And just didn't want to do it. Bill O'Coin talked them into doing it. And they said, "We can't call it Beck because of Jeff Beck." So, you know, we were sitting, I remember, in the limo. And I remember being Gene, Peter, and myself. And I'm not sure if Ace or Paul were in the limo, but I had suggested Beth only because it was very similar. And Neil Bogard, the president of Casablanca, their record company, was married to a Beth. So I thought that would be, you know, kind of interesting, you know, I mean, that would fit. And that's why they called it Beth. And then when they went into the studio, they made it a nice song. That was Bob Ezrin's doing. He changed it around to be a sweet ballad. You know, I mean, it was always a ballad, but he changed it around to be a positive song as opposed to a negative.
Lydia, let's go back to you were mentioning about you were doing a mural when Gene Simmons called. That makes it sound like you guys owned your own house. Did you own your own house at that point?
No. We were.
Well, you're putting
we
a mural
in
a rental
bedroom apartment in Brooklyn, and it was a really nice apartment. You know, it was practically brand new when we moved in. I think it was maybe one person lived there before us. And no, we were putting up a mural. It wasn't somebody painting a mural. It was wallpaper. So you put the wallpaper up, and it was like a, you know, it's in my book, the mural. You know, it was very 70s, so it's sort of psychedelic-looking mural.
And what year was that, 72 or 70?
72.
72.
Yeah.
And how quickly did you realize, as soon as he got into Kiss, and we'll get into, you know, also that in a little while if we can, but how soon, once he was in Kiss, did you realize that, hey, you know what, this is serious. This could change our lives.
Well, you always feel that way with a band. Like I felt that way with Chelsea, because Chelsea did an album. You know, Peter had an album out before Kiss. And but the album didn't go anywhere. So you always have those hopes. And but I felt that, I finally felt that it was all going to happen when I first, when I saw the dress rehearsal, I believe it was the end of 73. Yeah, the end of 73. They were rehearsing at the Fillmore East. And when I first saw them in costume with all the effects and everything, I was sitting by myself. I remember I was sitting by myself in the audience. It was just, you know, it was an empty audience. It wasn't many people there, you know, just a few road, you know, the road crew and some maybe some people from the actual theater and a few friends. But I remember I was sitting there, and when I saw it all, I just started crying. I said, this is it. He's going to make it. This is it.
Hmm. You mentioned Bob Ezrin. How soon did he get involved? Did he didn't do the first album, did he?
No. Bob did I guess it's considered the fifth album, Destroyer.
That's right. He didn't come on until after that, and they were pretty well established at that point.
Well, they were well established, but they weren't successful. They were about to be thrown off the record label. The first three albums didn't really do what the record label expected them to do, you know. So they were about to be thrown, you know. It was getting towards the end, and see, that's why everybody thinks, you know, it's been happening since 72. It really didn't start happening till 75, when Alive went gold. It was I'll never forget. It was the day after my birthday, and I was sitting home, they were on the road, and Paul Stanley's girlfriend called me and told me that Alive went gold, and I had just gotten laid off that day. So it was perfect timing, because then I had time to go. You know, once it went gold, they told me to get out of Brooklyn, because we were living in this little apartment. Mm. And, you know, we had to look for a place in Manhattan, and because we were living in Canarsie, which is pretty far from the city.
Hey, Lydia, keep that thought. We're coming up on a break. Let me take a quick break, and we have you for another segment, don't we?
Okay.
We'll be back with Lydia Chris right after this.
Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 1039 LI News Radio.
And we're back with Lydia Chris, author Lydia Chris, and the former wife of Peter Chris, Kiss drummer, and now Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Peter Chris. Lydia, we were just talking about Alive, and Alive was really the point that changed everything for Kiss. It went gold, and you were mentioning that Paul Stanley's girlfriend had called you. Who was that? Who was Paul Stanley's?
Her name was Carmen. I really don't remember her last name, but she's in my book also. He lived with her at that point. At that point they weren't living together. We moved into the city first, and then Paul moved in, and she moved in with him. She was, I think, from Michigan, a girl from Michigan. He must have met on the road. And she told me, don't tell Peter I told you. But, you know, Alive went gold. And, you know, of course I'm jumping up and down like, yay. And I couldn't wait for Peter to call, you know, but I had to wait for, usually Peter called after he did his show.
Now, what did it mean financially? What did it mean financially for you as soon as Alive went gold? I mean,
financially, it didn't do anything right away, because, you know, you still have to pay the record company back all the money that they put out, that, you know, before you actually start seeing money. We were told to move to Manhattan, and instead of paying, you know, I was paying all the bills up until that point. So that was.
And what were you doing again? Refresh our memory. What were you doing for a living?
I worked in two different jobs while I was married to Peter. I worked for Abercrombie and Fitch, which was at that point not a clothing store; it was a sporting goods store. And I worked in the gun department. I started working there when I was 16. So
you never thought of getting one of those guns and shooting Peter, right, for driving you crazy? No. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
We actually were able to borrow the guns at that time. You know, and you can't do that now.
Oh, forget it. You couldn't do that.
We had a used gun department, and we were able to take the gun out for the weekend and go out hunting. And, you know, we went, you know, to places like, you know, all the way, like in the country of New Jersey or something like that. If I knew we were going to be, he was going to be playing in a remote area, then I, you know, I would. I mean, I only took the guns out maybe once or twice. But anyway, that I learned how to shoot the gun. Believe it or not, we used to have a shooting range underneath Madison Avenue in Manhattan. So that was my first job. And
what was the other?
My other job, I worked for a multimillionaire. He was William Rosenwald. He was the son of one of the founders of Sears Roebuck. And I was considered a Girl Friday, but I did a lot of the bookkeeping.
Well, I think they call that personal assistant now, right?
No, because I really wasn't. No, it was a big company. I hardly ever saw him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you hardly ever saw the guy, you know. But I was I worked in the bookkeeping department, but I was a Girl Friday in the bookkeeping department. So I did secretarial stuff, and I also did bookkeeping and clerical. You know, you pick up the phone. Yeah, you know, I did a lot.
So at the time Alive went gold, you got laid off from Abercrombie and Finch?
No, I got laid off from William Rosenwald only because there was a time where I had two bosses, and they were the accountants, and one of them had a heart attack, and Peter wanted me, he was, you know, having one of his little traumas that he needed me on the road. So he was somewhere in the Midwest. I really forgot. I think maybe Utah. But he wanted me to go meet him. And I said I couldn't because I was working. So I asked for the day off. I think it was the day after Thanksgiving. And they said no because one of the bosses had a heart attack and they were short-staffed and they needed me. So I took off anyway and I called them from the airport and I told them I'll see them on Monday. So they weren't too happy with that, but it took them about 6 months before they finally let me go.
Well, and
Peter didn't want me to work anyway at that point. He felt that he was making enough money, which he really wasn't because I was still paying the rent and all the bills. And then once I finally did, you know, move to Manhattan, then his management company took over paying the bills.
So that's nice. It took that that whole.
Well, it took the pressure burden off, of course, but it also, you know, made me feel a little empty, and that's one of the words, one of the lines in Best that I wrote, and I mean I said it, and he brought it in and they used it. I just said I feel so empty. I feel this house is not my home. You know, because I had been working, you know, since I was 16. And at that point, I think I was probably in my late 20s, you know, like maybe 26, 27, something like that.
Did you and Peter have children?
Peter has a daughter, but not with me. It was his second wife.
So at this point, it was your husband and wife. Were you thinking, you know, in any way that, hey, maybe this isn't going to be great for our marriage, all the success? He's around women, he's around...
Oh, of course, you always think that, yeah, sure. I always thought that, but, you know, you keep your fingers crossed.
Well, now, how did it work out for you? And again, I'm not being specific here. I don't want to be too nosy. But did you make out all right? I mean, you know, financially, you hear nightmares about Hollywood wives, and they just got out lawyered or something happened, and they really.
Yeah, the thing is, you know, whoever has the most money is usually the winner. I didn't make out as good as I should have. I was told years later that Peter paid my lawyer off. My lawyer is now dead, so there's, you know, no way of proving this, but he was a famous lawyer, Marvin Mitchelson.
Sure. And, well, Marvin Mitchelson was your lawyer?
He was my lawyer, yeah. And, you know, there's, you know, the thing is they say they give you a certain amount of money, but they neglect to tell everybody that, you know, they give you the house, which is basically still has a mortgage on it, so that you know, they value the house at, like, you know, say, I don't know, $700,000, but it really was only, you know, it was worth maybe half of that because it was still a mortgage on it. And then, you know, years later, I was getting alimony, and halfway through, I was supposed to get alimony for 7 years. I only got it for 3.5 because Peter was not making the same amount of money he was when we got divorced. And so I got screwed out of that. And then there was some IRS problems. I got screwed out of that. So basically, I went back to work. You know, I was working in a photo agency for 16 years.
That's amazing. Do you have any estimate of how much money Peter made while you were in the marriage with him?
No, that's the problem. He claimed he was only worth, you know, a little bit over $1 million, which was...
He claimed that he was worth only $1 million.
A little over $1 million, yeah.
How much do you believe he was worth?
I would... If I was to guess, I'd say about $8 million.
$8 million.
Time.
And some would argue that you should get $4 million right off the top.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So you were really out lawyered, and you had Marvin Mitchelson. It's hard to believe that you can get out lawyered with. And I don't know much about Marvin. I just know him by reputation. It's hard to believe you'd get out lawyered with Marvin Mitchelson in your corner.
Well, like I said, he bragged, and, you know, to somebody, and somebody told me that he bragged that he paid the more he paid Marvin off.
Hmm. How long were you married to Peter?
Almost 10 years.
10 years. How many of those years were lean? How many of those years were salad years?
What do you mean?
How many of those years?
I went out with him for 13 and a half years. One of the years, let's see, from 70.
Well, let me clarify. How many of those years that you spent with Peter were you guys tight on money?
Oh, well, how many of the years that we were married? Six. I paid the bills for 6 years.
You paid the bills for 6 years. See, I mean, even if somebody goes to law school and you're paying the bills to put them through law school, they usually take that into consideration. But boy, that's horrible. I'm telling you, women. I'm the son of a single mom who got screwed in court. And she was just married to a school teacher, you know, and I say just because, you know, there's not, you know, a ton
I
of
know.
Money when it wasn't Peter Criss. It wasn't, you know, a member of a super group. And, you know, it wasn't a doctor. It wasn't a lawyer. And we got screwed. I mean, we got $42.50 a month child support.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, what we got. So, I mean, it's, you know, you got a screwing there. That's for sure. And, you know, if you believe it was $8 million, I find it hard to believe that it was anything less than that. What was the situation with Gene and Paul? I mean, Ace and Peter made less, am I right?
No. As a matter of fact, it was, at that point, it was all divided equally. That's, you know, Bill Coyne had made sure of that. At one point, he just said, It will keep the band together more if it's all divided equally. Well, I think Gene and Paul got more money maybe for the first two albums.
Well, they also wrote the majority of the songs.
That's why.
Right. Well,
the first two albums. But the thing is, if Peter would have taken his share of Beth, I mean, if he would have taken, you know, all the money for Beth, he'd be a lot richer.
Yeah, well, that's the reality there. But so you ended up divorcing Peter. Did you divorce him? He divorced you. How did it go?
He divorced me because he had a girlfriend.
He did. Did it end up being his wife?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So he's kind of a, you know, I mean, he's kind of a one woman man, right? I mean, he just, you know, not to be harsh, but I mean, he exchanged women, right? He went into another relationship in exchange for your relationship, and he's still with that woman.
No.
Oh, he's not with her, but he has a child with her.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he married now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he's married a third time.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's certainly sounds like the type that wants a...
Well, he's a type that needs. I don't know if he needs to have someone take care of him.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know him, so I've met him, but I certainly don't know him. I'll take your word for it. You were with him for 13 years. How much of this writing that you did with Sealed with a Kiss, and I'll remind the listeners that we're with Lydia Chris, the former wife of Peter Chris and the author of Sealed with a Kiss. While you were writing the book, how much of it was therapy? How much of it acted as therapy?
Well, I wrote the whole book. I wrote it all myself, and then I handed over the manuscript to my publisher that actually went bankrupt. So I got everything back, and I had to look for people to work with to redo the book.
Let me clarify. What was it therapeutic for you to write the book? In other words, was it did it get a lot off your chest? Did it?
Well, it was at times. At times. It was very hard. It took me a long time to do it because I did it all myself. I didn't have a publisher. I am my publisher. So I had a lot to do, and there were times where I would, when I was working on the manuscript afterwards, when I had to hire two editors, and they just kind of changed maybe some grammar or some punctuation or some spelling, or maybe they were two big Kiss fans also, so they might have felt a little different about a story I was telling. They might have heard it differently, but it was a lot of work, and I used to sit and read the manuscript. Like after they would correct what they felt should have been corrected, I would read it at night, and sometimes I would literally start crying, and sometimes and then like a chapter later I'd be hysterical laughing. So it was therapeutic in a way.
Now, is it hard writing a book that is ultimately going to be published by Kiss fans? And let me just make clear what I'm saying here. If they're real true Kiss fans, they probably don't want Peter to look that bad, right? Were they lobbying you to say, hey, maybe take this part out, this makes them look really bad? Or
no,
they just wanted it straight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. Now, how did you make out on the book? And again, I'm not being nosy, I'm not being specific.
Well, I did really good at the beginning. I mean, I did well enough to reprint the book. I reprinted it with 16 more pages, some more photos, about 22 more photos. It was part of the book that was supposed to be in the first issuing, but it got to the point where if I didn't finish it and get it over with, I would have had a nervous breakdown. So I just said, let's leave this part out and let's just get it out there. It turned out, I did it really good, and then now it's a little slow now because a lot of people have the book, but I'm still selling it.
Well, yeah, well, that's good, but it turned out the way you wanted it?
The book, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, you've become known for this, more than anything. Originally, it was, this is Lydia, and Lydia didn't sound as musical as Beth, and I think that was the story, and I think you clarified that.
Right.
But now, you have your following. You have a bunch of folks, and a lot of them, surprise, surprise, are Kiss fans. And are you getting a sense that even Peter Chris supporters respect what you did? You told your story, you gave this history. And I mean, other than Kistery, I mean, this is the quintessential book. And you talk to people, our mutual friend Stephen Fallon there, well, the guy who booked you, is a huge Kiss fan. And he said, this is the book. This is the book that you want to read if you're a Kiss fan. And it really gets in there and it tells the story. It tells the inside story. Now, that all being said, are you building up this following yourself, and is there a way to monopolize? What's the term I'm looking for? Is there a way to benefit from this relationship that you have now with these new fans?
Well, I have a very big following on Facebook. I actually have 5,000 friends, which is the maximum. And then I have about 500 friends waiting to be my friend. But I can't, Facebook won't let you take, won't let you accept more than 5,000. So I might have to start a new page. I tried doing that once, and I really need someone to help me with it. So that might be my next venture.
Well, I guess what I'm asking is, do you do the, I mean, there's conventions, you know, like different conventions where people sign books. Are you doing things like that? And is it working out monetarily for you?
Oh, sure. I'm doing a convention in June in Chicago. That's June 7th. I'm doing that. And I'm not sure, but I might be. I just found out yesterday that there's a Chowa convention at the end of this month.
The 26th of April is Chowa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm considering doing that. I do, I've been to Finland just, it was the middle of last year. And, no, I do conventions a lot. I'm actually going to, it's not a convention, but it's a pre-party for the cruise, for the KISS cruise. That's in October. I'll be going down to Miami for that. And
is this the only thing you do? Do you have a day gig?
No, I don't have a day job. I do have a small job that I work a couple of hours a week for Bob Gruen, who is the photographer that took Dress to Kill.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and he's also the very famous photographer that took John Lennon's photos. And I do work for him, but not a lot. It's a very small, what do you call that, a part-time. 3 hours a week gig.
Yeah. So, any regrets? I mean, we have about 2.5 minutes left with Lydia Chris. It's almost a rhetorical question, I guess, right? What are your regrets?
I don't know. I really don't know. That's a hard question to
answer. Would you marry Peter all over again back then?
Excuse me?
If you can go back in time, would you marry Peter all over again?
No. I mean, if I... No, because I've been through a lot of hard times because of him. It's been a struggle. A lot of people think it's a great life. It was part of my, lots of things. I've done a lot of things that a lot of people would never have done. I traveled all over the world. I mean, I circled the globe with Peter. That was our last trip together. And I've met a lot of famous people. But I've also had my, it's been a roller coaster. I have my ups and my downs, just like they have. It's like Paul Stanley just said recently, and somebody was interviewing him about his book. He says, I might make a lot of money and I might play the garden. And, one time he said he played the garden and everyone, he says, after playing for 20,000 people, he's sitting that night in a Jewish delicatessen, Sargi's, having matzo ball soup by himself. Mm. So go figure. It's like everybody has to go home and have their, the normal life event, even though you might be on top of the world, you still have to deal with life.
We have about a minute left with Lydia Chris, the author of Sealed with a Kiss and the former wife of Peter Chris, famed Kiss drummer, a new Rock and Roll Hall of Famer.
Well, can we say where everybody can buy my wonderful book?
Yeah, let's do that. We got a minute left. Let's talk about where to buy. Let's push the book.
It's on my website, www.lydiachris.com, Amazon, and eBay. And like I said, I do a couple of conventions here and there. When I probably will be doing one in September also in New Jersey. I just remembered that one.
Real quick, how could people follow you? How could do you tweet or do you, I know you do Facebook.
I don't tweet. No, I just have Facebook right now.
And is there a website?
I have to catch up with the rest of the world.
Hey, we got a few seconds left. One more time, give the book specs again.
Okay, Sealed with a Kiss by Lydia Chris. It's 384 pages, full color book, coffee table, weighs about 5 pounds, and it's on www.lydiachris.com, Amazon, and eBay.
Everyone must get this book. Lydia, you've been a wonderful guest. Thank you very much for being here.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. And all of you, thanks for tuning in. Please get Sealed with a Kiss. It's written by a wonderful lady here, Lydia Chris, former wife of Peter Chris, famed Kiss drummer and now Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. And get this book. This is the book that all Kiss fans should have. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time on Breaking It Down.